is Tom Lyons, host of Minnesota Military Radio, greeting you on this Memorial Day. We're sitting in for Jack and Ben up in Adam in the morning. The boys will be back tomorrow morning, but today we have a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. And Minnesota Military Radio can be heard on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. We've got a great show today. We're going to have co-hosts for each of the 3 hours, 6 to 9. The first hour, we've got Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. Second hour, we have Larry Shelledo, Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And the third hour, we'll have Colonel John Jensen from the Minnesota National Guard. So please stay with us. We're going to have an exciting show today. But before we get started, we're going to have a special message from Minnesota National Guard Chaplain Buddy Wynn.
I'm Chaplain Buddy Wynn, full-time support chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard. The Minnesota National Guard is more than 13,000 citizen soldiers and airmen strong, ready and committed to defending our towns, our state, and our nation from threats at home and abroad. Members of the Minnesota National Guard have deployed more than 26,000 individual times since September 11, 2001, and 316 service members have fallen who have next of kin living in Minnesota. That equates to hundreds of families affected by spouses, sons and daughters, sisters and brothers who have volunteered for military service and died while serving their country. All families who have dealt with that knock on the door, it might have been the spouse, the parent, or child of the service member, opened the door to see the casualty notification officer in their dress uniform with their hat in their hand, accompanied by a chaplain. And with that knock on the door, a Gold Star family finds themselves a member of an organization that no family wishes to belong to. A Gold Star family is the family of a service member who paid the ultimate sacrifice. These families deserve our respect, gratitude, and the very best support we can provide. Many view Memorial Day as the first day of summer, but this day is much more. Memorial Day matters. It is a special day, and we must keep it that way. Regardless of how we plan to spend our Memorial Day, let us pause to reflect upon the sacrifices of our fellow citizen warriors who fell. Perhaps by flying the American flag, observing a national moment of remembrance at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and including in our festive plans a time to pause or to pray. The opportunities are boundless to show that the fallen live on in our hearts and that we cherish them. This Memorial Day, let us honor the memory of the men and women who gave their all.
It's a powerful message on this Memorial Day morning at 6:08 a.m. on a special edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, for the morning, and my special co-host today is Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. Mr. Secretary, thanks for being back with us fourth year in a row.
Great to see you, and thank you for your service, for making this radio program week after week a really source of inspiration for all Minnesotans, but especially showing our support, our ongoing support for all those who serve.
Mr. Secretary, that was a great message from Chaplain Wynn. On Memorial Day, is there someone special that you think of?
Well, you know, I always think about my dad, of course, but today I've been thinking about my wife's father, who was in the Big Red One, the first, and he was part of North Africa, Italy, but in that first wave at Omaha Beach 70 years ago. And, of course, he never talked about it much, but I was a little bit of an outsider, you know, how son-in-laws are. And so he talked with me a little bit more than I think maybe he did with the rest of his family. But that whole incredible experience of all of those young men and women. I think today, as we look back 70 years and in the upcoming week, the special ceremonies that will happen in France and all over the world, I think it's a reminder that some who've come before us have sacrificed greatly for our benefit. That makes us really, you know, the beneficiaries of those gifts. We've got to really be thinking about what are we doing to make sure that we're honoring that, but also what are we doing to make sure the future generations have the same kind of freedoms and opportunities that we have. So Memorial Day is looking back, but it's also a little bit about looking forward and thinking about what are our responsibilities, how can we be of service to the whole nation.
Mr. Secretary, we all enjoy a long weekend, but on this particular weekend, it's good to stop for a minute and think about those who have paid the price so that we can have a nice three-day weekend with their family. And that's what Memorial Day is all about, to remember those who have served and given their all.
Yes, and the incredible events, we'll talk about them more this hour, but lots of important ceremonies going on all over the whole region.
6:10 in the morning on this Memorial Day. We're going to have a busy hour with Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, and we're going to have a historian, Doug Becky, on with us. We're going to talk about some events. We're going to talk about a special event over at the Golden Valley American Legion, and we're going to talk about sequestration. What is that, Mr. Secretary? We better start out with some events. What's going on around the state today?
Well, you know, every local community or many local communities have their own special events, but there's some that really do attract a kind of larger community, and there's some special speakers and honoring things. And the Fort Snelling National Cemetery is, in a sense, ground zero. This morning at about 9:30, there'll be the beginning of some music, patriotic music. There'll be a large ceremony at 10 o'clock out at Fort Snelling with Governor Dayton, elected representatives. That's really one of the main events of the day. And right by there, of course, is our special Fort Snelling historical site, open all day long. Lots of things going on out at Fort Snelling. There's some special events today. I know you're going to be emceeing the one up in Golden Valley this morning at 11 at the Chester Bird American Legion, there 200 North Lilac Drive in Golden Valley. You can always double-check that information on the web. Kind of an unusual opportunity today in Richfield. They're a big event at the special memorial, but there's a Merchant Marine veteran from the Second World War, Walter Holm. And, you know, there weren't a lot of opportunities in Minnesota, weren't a lot of Merchant Marines. So this is a very special event, and our Red Bulls band is going to be there. That'll be at 2 p.m. this afternoon at 6429 Portland Avenue. That's where the big Honoring All Veterans Memorial. And if folks haven't seen that memorial, it's a really special one.
We've been looking for some Merchant Marines to have on Minnesota Military Radio without much success. So.
Yes, and so at the state capitol grounds, there'll be different kind of veterans events all day long, but 1 o'clock will be the Korean War Memorial event, and Major General George Steiner, who's retired now, will be the main speaker for the Korean War. And then at 3 o'clock, Minnesota Vietnam Veterans Memorial, guest speaker Bill Pop from Pop Industries, been one of the real leaders in our local community supporting those in service, their families, and our veterans. So out at the state capitol grounds there in St. Paul, at various of the different memorials throughout the day, there'll be a session. There's some calendars on the major websites of our newspapers. I got a really great one off Bring Me the News. Not all of them are totally complete, but there's lots of things going on right around the corner in your neighborhood. And then finally, right across the street from my house, your guest this morning, Doug Becky, will be part of the event every Memorial Day at 10 o'clock at Lakewood Cemetery. Lots of pieces to that with music, the Minneapolis Police Band, lots of things with that. And Doug Becky will be the keynote and the special guest for that event, as well as being on your show so early this morning.
And you're both here so early. Thank you for coming. And Mr. Secretary, where are you headed later?
You know, I'll go out into greater Minnesota because I want to make sure that we are acknowledging all the events that are happening there. St. Cloud always does an incredible job. I was just there last week, actually, because it was their MIA POW special day that had been postponed due to winter. You know, St. Cloud has a very important veterans hospital. Amazing services for people there, but as a community, they also have veterans housing, just lots of important things. St. Cloud, that whole region, and I understand you'll be acknowledging some of the folks from up there later in the show. I want to urge people, not just in the metro, but everywhere who's listening this morning, there are events throughout the state, and we can hopefully connect you up if you're looking for something closer to you, someplace in greater Minnesota.
Mr. Secretary, as we close this segment, this first segment of our three-hour show today, I want to read a newsletter from Representative Jeff Howe, who is also a Lieutenant Colonel in the Minnesota National Guard. And he says, "Dear neighbor, Memorial Day is Monday, the day we pay our respect to those who made the ultimate sacrifice in service to our country. My fondest memories of this day from when I was young was attending the parades and going on family fishing trips. Although I've served in the military for more than 35 years, it has been since 2005 that I've come to know the true meaning of this day. On June 28, 2005, Sergeant Manny Hornito was killed by an IED. Manny was a loss prevention manager for Gap Clothing who joined the Army National Guard in response to the 9/11 attacks. He was a husband and father of two young boys. Manny was my soldier. I was his commander. I was responsible for his safety, well-being, and bringing him home. I was only able to bring him home. That visit to his family, his wife, his boys, was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I knew that if it was my loved one, I would want the opportunity to ask questions about the event and bring closure to the death. That day changed the way I viewed Memorial Day. It is a day that our nation's heroes honor those who gave their all, answering the call to duty. Every day is Memorial Day for me, as I will never forget the sacrifice, the debt which cannot be repaid to those who died, and the families who grieve. Good luck, Jeff.
Fantastic message, and you know I've had the honor of working with Jeff. Jeff and his brother John, both in the Army. Jeff also had been in the Navy, but his public service in our armed forces and now in our state legislature is just an example of the kind of deep roots and deep civic pride and deep civic commitment and real empowerment and real, I don't know, just devotion that Minnesotans have. And I think he captured in that message that we give back to sometimes not knowing all the reasons, but then there are moments where something as powerful as the loss of a life of someone that you were good friends with or were commander of, and that just brings back the fact that you know we are able to enjoy these blessings of freedom because others who've come before us have made that ultimate sacrifice.
Mr. Secretary, we have to take a short break. We'll be back with more Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 in just a moment. Today's special Memorial Day prep broadcast is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. This is Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Jack and Ben up and at 'em in the morning. I'll be back tomorrow morning. But today, all morning, we're going to be talking about Memorial Day with our special guests. And my co-host this first hour has been Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. Mr. Secretary, you're always here early in the morning and you're full energy. I don't know how you do that at this hour.
Well, I just so appreciate that you each week make this important resource available to all of us here in the state.
Well, Mr. Secretary, we've got a special guest in the studio with us this morning, the curator of the Minnesota Military Museum up in Camp Ripley, Doug Beckley. Becky, Doug, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, good morning. Glad to be here.
For our for those who haven't heard the show, Doug Beckley joins us periodically to bring us up to date on all things history about the military in Minnesota. And Doug, one of the things we wanted to talk about this morning was the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, participation in World War II. But before we do that, what comes to mind for you on as a historian when Memorial Day rolls around each year? What do you think about?
Well, I think about the veterans I've known, and I've known a lot of them since some of my earliest memories are talking to my relatives who served in various wars or neighbors, listening to teachers. And they've always surrounded me and always being a history geek. From my earliest recollections, that's what I talked to people about was history and their experiences. So now in many cases, I go to the Fort Snelling Cemetery and I visit them, and they're not just grainy black and white photographs to me. They're real people who influenced my life. They were relatives, mentors, teachers, and I see their faces, I hear their stories, I remember them as real people. And those are the things, that's what I really recall.
Doug, we've interviewed for 3.5 years now veterans from World War II on up to today. And the one thing that strikes me that our current generation maybe doesn't understand is World War II was a world war. The entire United States economy, all of our people, most of the people in the world were involved in it. And I'm a Vietnam veteran, and in my era, we went on deployments and tours to Vietnam and came home about 13 months. In the Gulf Wars and in the wars today, they might go for 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. In World War II, the guys went to war, and they stayed until it was over. Mm-hmm. Do you have the words to describe a world war?
Oh, it's a concept that's alien to me, really, because also being a Vietnam veteran, we'd go, like you say, on a deployment and then we'd come back. But there wasn't a sense of closure for many of us because we'd come home, but the war would go on. And for many veterans, you become part of that whole experience and then you leave it and it goes on without you. And there's a sense of, oh, that you've missed something or you've left something behind. You might be very glad to be home, but it's going on without you, and you've become part of that. with World War II, the war ended. They came back. Everyone had been involved in the war. And many times, for many Vietnam veterans, there's a sense that, well, we didn't get the parades and we didn't get the heroic welcomes back. But it didn't happen in World War II either. And most veterans came home, and everyone was tired of it. Everyone had been involved on some level. And they just wanted to get on with their lives. And many of them came home to families that they didn't know, wives that they barely knew, children they hadn't seen before. Suddenly they were out of the service. They had to get an education. They had to get a job. They had to provide for their families. And they moved on from the wartime experience. And I know I hear all the time, well, I'm going to go do an interview, and someone will say, well, Dad or Mom, whatever, they won't talk about the war. They've never done it. But just as the Secretary of State said with his father-in-law experience, an outsider can sometimes crack the nut. And many times there's a wealth of information there that's waiting for a vehicle to talk about the war. And they won't do it within the family. But someone comes in from the outside and interviews them, especially someone that shares some of these experiences. And they'll talk for hours sometimes. You open that door, and they want to talk and want to talk and want to talk. One man that I met had been in the 82nd Airborne Division for the whole war, made all four combat jumps. And he was a quiet guy, never talked much about his experiences until he got involved with the World War II roundtable programs at Fort Snelling. And when I did finally interview him, he talked for 10 hours. It went on and on and on.
Got him started and he kept going.
You opened up that door and it just went on and on and on. And unfortunately, the last part of the interview, this is years ago and I was doing it on tape, and I had just run out of tape, and he started a monologue about why did I survive?
Oh.
And it was just one of the most riveting monologues I've ever heard from anyone, especially coming from this guy. It was completely unexpected because he was a very quiet, very modest man. But it was just a riveting monologue, and I didn't get it.
We're speaking with Secretary of State Mark Ritchie and our historian Doug Becky on a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Doug, I've heard a lot of talk the last few weeks about D-Day, and it's D-Day plus 70, but leading up to D-Day, our Minnesota National Guard 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls played a significant role in occupying, as you told us last time you were on, 18 divisions in Italy, which made D-Day more manageable. Can you tell us a little about the Red Bulls?
Well, the 34th had been called up in February of 1941 with most of the rest of the National Guard. They went to Camp Claiborne, Louisiana. They were expecting to come home in December of 41, in the early 1942, but Pearl Harbor happened in December 41, and they were one of the first units sent overseas. They went to Northern Ireland, trained there. They participated in the invasions of North Africa on the 8th of November 42, some of the first units to go into North Africa. They fought through the North African campaign into Tunisia, played critical roles there. They didn't go into Sicily. The division's 151st Field Artillery played a critical role in Salerno landings, supporting the 36th Division. They then fought their way up the Italian Boot, and they were there till the very end of the war. They played a critical role in the fighting around Cassino. They later went to Anzio and ended the war in the Po Valley on the march up almost into Austria.
Yeah, Mr. Secretary, I don't know if you were aware of this, but we found out the last time Doug was on that the 34th Infantry Division was involved in the liberation of Rome, which had the headlines for about a day before D-Day hit. But it was a day or two, but it was pretty close, wasn't it, Doug?
Yeah.
They went in on the 5th of June, and of course D-Day was on the 6th. And once D-Day happened, you know, so what for the rest of the war? Normandy captured all the headlines.
And I think you also told us that the 34th Infantry Division was the first unit activated at the beginning of the war, and they had more frontline combat dates than any other unit in World War II.
As a division, they had more days in combat than any other division. And one of their battalions, the 175th Field Artillery, had more days in combat than any other battalion in World War II.
When it's reminiscent of that whole, the kind of origins of that division, our Minnesota First Volunteers being the first who really mobilized for the Civil War when President Lincoln called for troops to support the Union and to defend the Constitution. It's a part of Minnesota history, and it's really important to remind and to retell that story because there's so many people who, young people who are just growing up or people who come to Minnesota for economic opportunities or for school, to really know what an important part of our tradition and our history. This is really in our DNA. We need to carry it forward.
Mr. Secretary, I know that you taught history at one point. I think you're keeping that secret these days because you've been so busy lately.
And I'd love to get back to it.
But I don't remember learning in high school or college about the legendary 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls. I mean, they traced their way back, as you said, to the Civil War.
Well, and it's interesting, Doug Beckey's comment about how, you know, once D-Day happened, both the world's attention, the media attention, that's the thing about a world war. My dad was in China, the Marine in the Pacific Theater and in China, and there were things going on everywhere, and some we know more about, and some we've either never learned or have forgotten. But these anniversary dates and these important moments, it's a real important chance to just bring that history back. And doing things like going to a museum or one of these events is just a little way to, particularly for our younger people, for families to go together and say, you know, history's important. Here's a little piece, hopefully to build a lifelong interest. And Doug mentioned the Civil War or the Second World War Roundtable. We also have a Civil War Roundtable monthly meetings where folks can get that history.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. We'll be back with more with Secretary of State Mark Ritchie and Doug Beckey on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Today's special Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you in part by Historic Fort Snelling. Please remember to come out and experience history with us this summer. Welcome back to a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. This first hour, I've been joined by Secretary of State Mark Ritchie and by our curator of the Minnesota Military Museum, Doug Beckey. We've been talking a little bit about World War II because D-Day plus 70 is just around the corner on June 6th. And we came across President Roosevelt's D-Day prayer on June 6th at about midnight. Our forces were flung into a cauldron of fire in Western Europe. The President, Commander-in-Chief sought to claim an anxious nation, calm an anxious nation. It was a presidential address that stands out as a testament to how much our nation has changed since that evening in the late spring of 1944. Beginning about midnight, elements of the 101st and 82nd Airborne Division had landed behind enemy lines in France. They were later followed by seven hours later by massive landings on beaches in Normandy, codenamed Sword, Juno, Gold, Omaha, and Utah. Americans were hearing reports on the radio of what was going on at lunch counters, offices, factories. And some of their sons had already been killed by this point. And the president knew that he had to address the nation, and here's what he had to say. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness to their faith. They will be sore tired by night and by day, without rest until victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violences of war. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. O Lord, give us faith in thee, faith in our sons, faith in each other, faith in our united crusade. Let not the keenness of our spirit ever be dulled. With thy blessing we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogance. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen. Doug, it was a different time 70 years ago, and the entire world was thrown into war. And I think President Roosevelt understood that he had to send a message to the people of America.
That's right.
Mr. Secretary, those are some powerful words, aren't they?
Oh, and it's just thinking back on this as a world war and the discussion we were having a little earlier in the hour about, in a way, how different or unique that was and how just remembering when the whole nation was involved and therefore the whole nation was caught up in all the news and the experience and, you know, needing to keep that sort of national involvement in front of us, because as a nation we face challenges year after year, not just at times of worldwide war. So Memorial Day is a chance to remember just a little bit about that and help it kind of reignite that understanding of our national, the way that we're all connected in this way as a nation.
And it was a big world war, as we said, but Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War, Iraq, Kuwait, Afghanistan, the men we send over there are no less brave and no less honorable.
And amen.
And it's a day to remember those folks. Doug, we've just got a few minutes left. Can you sum up the 34th Infantry Division and our Minnesotans? It seems like from the Civil War to World War II to every conflict, we're there. We stand up and we go.
That's right. That's right. The one experience, and of course it's a big one for my generation, that was missed with the National Guard was Vietnam, and that forms an image for many people. Even Jesse Ventura at one point mentioned that that the National Guard is only there for tornadoes and emergencies and that. And he was thinking about the Vietnam experience when the National Guard wasn't called. But traditionally, from the Revolution on, the National Guard had its roots in the militias, the local community groups that formed to defend their communities. And that was then formed into more organized units. And, of course, in the Civil War, our first militias were formed in 1857, before we were even a state. And served significantly in the Civil War, served significantly in the Spanish-American War. We had the 13th Minnesota and the Philippines. World War I, the unit with the most combat was 151st Field Artillery, which still exists. But the 34th got to France just at the very end of the war, didn't participate in any major campaigns. But in World War II, was heavily involved right from the very start. And as I went over their history earlier, more days in combat than any other unit. They became the 47th Division after World War II and the reorganization of the Army. As a unit, they went to Camp Record, Alabama, didn't go to Korea as a unit, but many, many, many individuals out of the division were sent to Korea. And again, we're preparing for Vietnam, double drilling, as were some of the other National Guard units, but weren't called. But in the more recent conflicts in the Middle East, have been very, very, very heavily involved and have an incredibly strong record of service and are very highly regarded in the military today.
Doug, I know you have to get going because you're participating in an activity up at Lakewood Cemetery, but you're the curator of the Minnesota Military Museum. It's located up at Camp Ripley. What a fantastic facility. It's open all summer?
It's open 7 days a week from the 1st of May till the 1st of October. And the public's very welcome to come up to Camp Ripley. It's a great museum. We're heavy in artifacts. We believe that that's the strength of a museum, is to put the artifacts out and let the artifacts tell the stories. And we've got a special exhibit now on Minnesota's two civil wars, the war again between the North and the South, and then the 1862 Dakota War. We've got a special exhibit on the 34th Division right now. Next year we're doing an exhibit on Vietnam, and the following year we're doing an exhibit on World War I.
Well, I don't know how you keep up with it all, Doug. Go ahead, Mr. Secretary.
I love going to that museum because it has so much that's personal. The letters and notes from soldiers or others serving back and forth to families. It's just a wonderful way. And also, it's just a beautiful place to be. And so folks are out in the state making sure that they do not miss. And that Civil War exhibit is fantastic. So thank you for making that available to all of us as citizens of Minnesota.
Thank you.
Great place to stop for a couple hours on an afternoon on the way up north to the lakes. And do a great job up there. And Doug, thanks for visiting with us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Secretary, we have to take a short break, but we'll be back with more. This special Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to our special edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. My co-host for the first hour has been Secretary of State Mark Ritchie. And Mr. Secretary, it's been a busy hour. You haven't had much chance to say a whole lot.
Oh, it's been great, great guest. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to the next 2 hours as well. So it'll be great to be listening and traveling around the state. I hope more and more people are tuning in now and catching this important message that you're bringing to the whole state.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Secretary, we're joined right now by a fellow Vietnam veteran, Tom Newman. Tom was in the 101st Airborne Division, combat veteran, stayed in combat way too many days, 250 days of a tour in Vietnam. Probably should have been killed a couple dozen times, but you survived. Tom, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here on Memorial Day. It's a day that we have to keep the focus out because sometimes it gets lost with the three-day weekend, the beginning of summer, all those kind of things. But it's very paramount that we do whatever we can to get the word out and make sure that the soldiers that have given their life for our country, 848,000 of them in our 239-year history that have died for the ideals that make America great and keep the other people of the world free as well.
Tom, I read your book about your experience in Vietnam. Is on Memorial Day, is there someone special that you remember, or is it all the guys that you lost in your unit?
Laika is the guy I always remember. He was the sergeant that when we were trying to go into the village, and we lost a couple point men because of booby traps, and it was my turn to go in, and Sergeant Laika looked at the CO and said, "I won't ask my men to do anything I won't do," and he went in and unfortunately hit a booby trap and lost his life.
Another one of those times you survived and someone was looking out for you so you could tell the story.
That's true.
Tom, we've got an event coming up over at the Golden Valley American Legion this morning. Can you tell us about it?
Absolutely. This event started after an interview I had, and the interviewer was such a heartfelt thank you for our service that she asked if I'd ever done anything to try and recognize Vietnam veterans and their service that they did. And I said I really hadn't thought about it, and then everything just started to fall together through Vets in the Valley and the American Legion Golden Valley. Everybody was very cooperative and very receptive, and when you mentioned you want to do something special for Vietnam veterans, I was amazed at how many people just came on board and thought, whatever we can do to make it happen, let's do it.
So it starts at what time, and who's welcome? And
it starts at 11 o'clock. It's a traditional Memorial Day service where we're honoring all the war dead. And the program will go for probably an hour, hour and 15 minutes, and then we'll serve some smoked chicken and potato chips and pop, and everybody's welcome, especially all the veterans.
And the Vietnam veterans particularly.
Particularly, yes.
Well, Tom, if I get out of here in one piece, I'll be over there to join you because I think I've got a little work to do.
You're going to be on stage and be our MC, and we are very appreciative of that. And that's, like I said, everybody we asked was on board, and we're thankful for everybody that's participating, especially your skills and abilities to host our event.
Well, Tom, after you came on the show and shared your experience in Vietnam and in all the stories that you told us, I couldn't hardly say no, so I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I'll have a voice left, and we'll be over at the Golden Valley American Legion just off of Highway 100 and Glenwood Avenue.
Glenwood, yes.
Down in the little hollow there. And you want everybody to get there about 10:30, 10:45, and it starts at 11 o'clock.
That would be great, yes.
I'll see if I can make it.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom.
Tom, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Mr. Secretary, you said you're headed up to St. Cloud after the show.
Yeah, and you know, all day long there'll be events all over the state. A lot of them are concentrated in the metro, but I think it's real important to recognize and to remember that this is a Memorial Day that's observed all throughout the nation and all throughout our state. And this special event like we're talking about now in Golden Valley is an example of local communities do come together. It is a special day. And anyone listening, you can just check with the local radio, newspaper, statewide listings, and find someplace nearby to go by yourself or with your family or neighbor or friends and just take it as a time to pause and to reflect and to remember. There'll be lots more time in the weekend to do other things, but today's a pretty special day.
6:54 on our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Mr. Secretary, I don't mean to pick on you. On our show on Sundays, we don't allow any politics and we don't talk much about legislation, but a couple of times today we're going to do that. We'll have Senator Klobuchar on a little bit later, and we're going to talk about some things she's doing. But I've got a letter here from the president of the General John W. Vesey Jr. chapter of the Association of the United States Army. His name is Don Kerr, and Don has a message for us on Memorial Day, and this has to do with sequestration. And I just want to read part of this letter. It says, as you know, Memorial Day is to remember and honor our war dead. Many of us will attend solemn ceremonies or carry out our own habits regarding to how best memorialize the patriots who have given their lives for freedom and the nation's defense. Some will think of loved ones who are currently deployed or spend time with soldiers who are preparing to deploy to defend our nation's interests overseas. Many more will honor our dead in their own ways and will find precious time to cherish our presence with family. All of these are appropriate to celebrate the holiday. However, if you're looking for a more meaningful way to recognize the sacrifices of those who have given their all for us, I can think of nothing more appropriate than to contact your Congress on Memorial Day to urge them to reverse the damaging effects of sequestration. It's even hard to say, and it's harder to think of than that, but sequestration and the Budget Control Act of 2011 on our national defense. In his opinion, Don Kurz, there can be no greater tribute to our fallen than to prevent repeating the short-sighted mistakes of the past that have resulted in the loss of countless American lives in previous wars. Only take a few minutes. There's four easy steps, and we're going to post this letter. Sergeant Ben will post it on the Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page. So if you want to do this on Memorial Day, go to the AUSA, Association of the United States website, AUSA.org, hover over Legislative Agenda, pull down the menu, enter in your zip code, then select End Sequestration Permanently. This will open a window that will allow you to read a form letter, and you can tailor that letter to anything you want. And at the bottom of the page, you can send that on. And he goes on and explains a little bit more on how to do it. But, Mr. Secretary, we just got a few minutes left, but I wanted to dig into this. Sequestration is some federal legislation that was passed, and it was a 10-year budget cut that said if the Congress doesn't establish a budget, then sequestration kicks in, and it just indiscriminately cuts across everything, including the military. We're in a little window here where they passed a 2-year budget, so it doesn't affect us, but come 2016, sequestration is back.
Absolutely.
And it led
right
to all kinds of furloughs, and it was a bad bill.
Well, and Don Kerr is absolutely right. Today is perhaps the best day to take this opportunity to talk to and put the word into those legislators, senators, and representatives at our last month's membership meeting for the Association for the U.S. Army, which I'm pretty active in that Jack Vesey chapter here. We talked about the fact that when we do have this window, people sometimes say, oh, it's not going to happen, or we can let that go, or other priorities get in the way. No, it's in this time now that's the most important to go on that website, that AUSA.org, go under legislative action. Just take 5 minutes, type up that, click on those buttons there, customize that letter, and send it out today. I think that legislators themselves will be more receptive to the message also because they are somewhere in the country participating in some event. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. And that AUSA.org website can also provide a lot more background on some of the devastating cuts that have already taken place, but how this will really affect the whole nation if we allow this to go forward. So thank you for bringing this up.
Now, Mr. Secretary, in my personal opinion, when I go online to do this today, I'm not only going to say stop that sequestration, but I'm also going to talk to my elected officials about the budget, because right now they've allocated the budget and we're in a big fight. They're trying to take money away from the Guard and Reserve. And over the last decade, the readiness status of the Guard and Reserve is high. And I don't want to lose those experienced people. I don't want to lose equipment. I don't want the Guard and Reserve to take a back seat. So I'm going to talk about that.
Amen. And we've invested so much in creating this next greatest generation and would be fools to not keep our Guard and Reserve on high, ready, and well-prepared. So thank you for bringing up that additional point.
Mr. Secretary, we're just about out of time. I know you've got a message about this afternoon.
Yeah, today's also a special time that we have at 3 p.m. There is a national moment of remembrance. A couple people have mentioned this already. It's to encourage everybody to pause for 1 minute at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day. It's just a chance to reflect on the sacrifices made by so many who've fought and some who've died to provide freedom for all. So 3 o'clock today, stand with your family or sit or just take that 1 minute, that national moment of remembrance. 3 o'clock today.
Mr. Secretary, thanks for joining us the fourth year in a row as the first guest on this show.
Thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege, and thank you for making this for all of us.
This is Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 in a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio, which can be heard Sundays at 7 on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130. Today's special Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.